Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Giliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, good to be here on Sunday nights all the time, going through the Word and learning and studying, and we're glad you're with us. And today's show, we're going to do a gospel from the Gospel of Luke, which is about the transfiguration of Jesus. Now, you all know the story, and we're going to have Stephen read it in a second. And this is a really interesting story that involves Jesus, of course, but kind of a new and very different way.
Yes.
And it involves some people from the past and some people in the present and how they all interacted together. And we're going to have Stephen read the passage. This is in Luke chapter 9. So if you have your Bible, get to Luke chapter 9, and this is verses 28 to 36.
Okay.
And we'll have Steve read the English version, not the Greek version.
Not the Hebrew?
And not the Hebrew either. Let's stick with English. I think it'll be easier.
Okay. So, I think most people will understand that, Phil.
Yeah, so we'll read it, and then we'll talk about it for a while.
Okay. About 8 days after he said this, he took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened. When they entered the cloud, then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen.
Ooh. That's great.
Wow.
You gotta love our friend Peter, but we'll get to him in a minute. Because I'm not sure how any of us would have reacted being there. And here was something different. Here, this was something they had never seen before. They got a glimpse of glory here. They got a glimpse of Jesus in his divinity and in his glory.
Right.
They knew, they had been walking around for a while with Jesus of Nazareth, and mm-hmm. they knew that he was a man, and he was a man. But now they saw him in a different way. You know, we call Jesus the light of the world for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, he actually was light.
Yes.
And he glowed and light came forth from him. And, you know, the apostles, of course, being typical human beings, were kind of half asleep at this point and didn't really realize what was going on.
Right.
And, you know, later on, and Peter mentions this in one of his letters we'll get to later, but later on, the apostles would remember this as an amazing part of their life and really had their faith strengthened by this.
Mm-hmm.
And we see here, before we get into it, you know, just a little summary of this would be that we also see our future state of what our bodies are going to be like.
Yes.
When we get into glory.
Yeah.
Jesus' body, Moses' body, Elijah's body. Here they were in kind of a totally different way.
And yeah, and totally, you know, I mean, Jesus is transfigured.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, he's white. And this vision of what Peter sees has to probably astound him.
Mm-hmm.
That he's seeing Moses and Elijah, and he knows it's Moses and Elijah.
Yeah. It says he didn't know what to say.
You know, the interesting thing is, How did they know what Moses and Elijah looked like?
Yeah, there were no pictures.
There's no pictures unless there was some engraving on a rock or something.
Well, he had a Bible that had pictures of Moses and Elijah.
No, that was 1,500 years later.
Oh, yeah.
They would have that. Yeah, right. That's a little bit before.
Oh, okay.
So, but anyway.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. He sees Jesus. He sees Moses and Elijah, and he calls them by name.
Mm-hmm.
Let's build a tent. Yeah, one for you, one for Moses and Elijah. And, you know, they're talking to Jesus about the exodus that he's going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting they use the word exodus.
Yes. The other two accounts don't use the word exodus, but it's kind of neat.
And it goes back to the exodus that they, you know, that Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt.
Yeah.
From that slavery.
Mm-hmm. Which is a prefigurement of what Jesus is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, what you read in the Torah and in the prophets are types and shadows of what's coming. Jesus is the substance. Those things are the types and shadows.
And you can't have a shadow without a substance.
Yes, exactly. That's one of your favorite sayings, I think.
Yes. I like to say that a lot.
And interestingly, it was kind of like at Gethsemane. You know, this something's happening and these disciples are sleeping.
They're sleeping.
They can't stay awake. So we don't know if this was at night. I don't know. Maybe it was at night. Or maybe they had walked a long way and they had climbed up this mountain and they said, well, Jesus, you go over there and pray. We're going to take a little nap. We don't know exactly what was happening, but they were sleeping. And then at the beginning of the passage, it says that Jesus was praying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the glory came. That's when the glory became manifested.
Yeah.
So they saw human Jesus of Nazareth go and start to pray. Then the next time they saw him, he was glowing in this, you know, kind of glorious state that came while he was praying. The Greek translation there, since we didn't read it in Greek, I can tell you that the the Greek translation there actually means that he was like white, like lightning. It's a term that's used for lightning.
That's pretty bright.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like God has light as his garment. Isn't that in one of the Chris Tomlin songs? You wrap yourself in light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's got like light, you know, he becomes light like lightning.
He wraps himself in light.
Yeah.
And darkness tries to hide.
Yeah. I won't sing
it. And trembles at his voice.
Now, Steve could sing it. I can't sing it, but it's an awesome song.
Let's hear you sing it.
No, let's not. Come on. We want to keep the show going.
Okay. All right.
Everybody will change the station.
Okay. All right.
So the question is, too, the first question is, where did this happen? Most people think this happened at a place called Mount Tabor, which is in the Galilee, and it's near Nazareth. It's kind of right at the beginning of Galilee as you go from the south. Some people say it was at Mount Hermon, but that was actually quite a bit off. Our friend Pastor Adil, who many of you might remember from last fall when he did some shows with us, he lives right at the base of Mount Hermon, and that's probably about 60, 70 miles north of Mount Tabor. But Mount Tabor actually is just right near Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
And tradition says that this is where the Transfiguration happened. In fact, it's called the Mount of the Transfiguration. And I was there last summer. My wife and I were there. And interestingly, on the top, there's two churches there. There's a Catholic church and an Orthodox church.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have anything to do with each other. And there's kind of like a valley between the two churches. There's no walkway or road that connects them.
Wow.
So if you want to go from one to the other, you got to go back a ways down the mountain, then take like a fork in the road to go up the other side to go to the other church. Kind of a typical example of cooperation among Christians.
There you go.
Yeah, you go. It's kind of interesting because we couldn't get inside the Orthodox Church, but
no,
it was all locked up.
Gated community, huh?
But the Catholic Church was kind of cool because it was built like a tent, and it's a really big tent that is supposed to be the tent for Jesus. Mm. And there's two like littler chapels on the side that are built like tents, and one says Moses, one says Elijah.
So they got the little rooms.
Yeah, they got the little rooms. Right.
Okay.
As it should be. So it was really kind of cute. And it's interesting, too, that he takes Peter, James, and John with him. You know, he always takes Peter, James, and John to things.
Yeah.
You know, these were the three that he was closest to, was most intimate with. You know, he took him to the Garden of Gethsemane. They were there waiting with him.
Well, he always had to take Peter so that he wouldn't get in trouble.
Yeah.
Peter had a propensity just to get in trouble.
Yeah,
so.
Boy. We've explained that a lot on the show.
So I think Jesus wanted to keep him close at bay.
And they were, you know, they were destined to do a lot of ministry in the future. They just didn't know it yet. But they were destined to do a lot of things. And, you know, he was close friends with them. He was getting them ready for their mission. And now, you know, he kept them close to him because, you know, Moses and Elijah are talking to him about what's going to happen in Jerusalem. So now was going to be a time where they had to stay close.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little different than when he was baptized in the Jordan and that was the ministry was just starting. But now, you know, we're talking about going to Jerusalem.
And then he sends them out, like when he sent them out, you know, two by two and they were out ministering. Yeah. Yeah, because we're leading up into the time that Jesus is going to be crucified.
Yes.
So he knows that he's going to enter into Jerusalem and what's going to take place.
Yeah. And so they're there and we don't know where the other guys are, but these three who are the sort of the inner circle that are the important three, they at this point fall asleep.
No, wait, I love that. What about those other two that asked to sit one on his right? Weren't they important?
So I just think it's amazing because here they go, like they're going to have this awesome experience. They fall asleep
again.
When the Lord's at Gethsemane going through this anguish and agony, they fall asleep. And they don't seem to be able to like focus their attention on what's going on. And, you know, we laugh, but we probably would do the same thing.
We might, we probably do the same thing. You know, if there's an anxiousness of a situation, the tendency is that you would not fall asleep because your adrenaline's going, you're thinking about things and you're concerned about, so that you would stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting that, you know, they fall asleep.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he did go to pray. I don't think they thought anything was really going to happen.
Right. And it seems like all three of them are asleep.
In fairness to our friend Peter.
Right. I mean, we don't know what time of day this was, but, you know, and if it was afternoon, it's really hot, and they probably were walking, and so they probably laid down in the shade and fell asleep. But we don't know that for sure. If it was evening, maybe they were tired from walking, fell asleep. But anyway, the three of them are asleep, and Jesus is praying, and that's when this whole thing starts to happen. You know, the whole character of his appearance changes. This is why it's called the Transfiguration. He changes and he's there speaking with Moses and Elijah. Now, why is he speaking with them? Well, Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. So here was Jesus talking as kind of a the end point of the
fulfillment
law,
of
right, and the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
The law had all these types and shadows and foreshadowings and things that pointed to Messiah, and we've been through all that, and if you've taken my Torah course, I'm sure you remember it all. The prophets all announced what Messiah was going to do, what he was going to be like, where he was going to be born, the fact that the Gentiles were going to come into the kingdom as well as the Jews, all right. These things that pointed to Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, the fulfillment of this, of both of these sort of streams that go through the scripture, the law and the prophets, are now with the fulfillment of both of those things, which of course is Jesus. And there's these human apostles that are there, you know, sleeping, but they're... You know, in this place, there's people that are in glory. There's Jesus, who's man and God. So he's human and divine. So his human nature is there, his divine nature is there. And then you got the three human beings that are asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had only seen Jesus in his regular body, his quote, his normal body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this was, as we've always said, a real human body that was conceived, was carried in the Virgin Mary's womb, was born, was an infant, was a child, was an adolescent, was a teenager, was a man. And this is the same body. This is a human body that developed just like anybody else's body. He's like us in all things but sin. His body has the same appearance as our sinful flesh. The Paul goes on to write later. So they had seen this body and the divinity that he had was hidden. You know, they didn't see the divinity. They didn't see the glory. But now all of a sudden, when they start waking up, they see a whole different aspect of Jesus.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. If we go back and we just look at what Jesus said before this happened, you know, he's telling them about what a disciple is. If anyone wishes to come after me, they must deny themselves and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Yeah.
And whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say, you know, what profit is there for one to gain the whole world, lose or forfeit himself?
Yeah.
Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God.
Mm.
Was this what he was referring to as seeing the kingdom of God?
Yeah, it's a good
this
point.
Glory revealed and the, you know, the beginning of the building of the kingdom.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, it's interesting. And then, you know, as it says, 8 days after this, he takes him up to this mountain. So I would think that Jesus knew that there was a divine appointment that was going to take place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they go there, they see Jesus in his normal condition, his normal body, his, you know, what they see every day for the last couple of years. And then he's transfigured into this brilliant white, dazzling white figure.
Yeah. And our friends that are sleeping or half asleep now see a whole different Jesus.
Yeah.
And with him, Moses and Elijah are in glory too. They appear in glory. They're not there. You know, Moses obviously had died. He died on Mount Nebo just before the people crossed over into the land.
Right.
Because if you remember, whether you took my Torah class or not, you remember that Moses disobeyed and God said he would not go into the land. So just before he died, he goes to the top of Mount Nebo to look at the land. And that's where our term feast your eyes on this comes from, because Moses feasted his eyes on the land and he died there. Elijah hadn't died. He was taken by a flaming chariot into heaven. He's one of the two people that didn't die. And they were both there in glory. Well, we're coming up on a break already. Ooh, we're going to listen to an awesome song from Paul Wilbur. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org and find us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
The oceans and the seas, subdue the storm-tossed waves for me. God, you are awesome. All of heaven declares your name, wondrous beauty, your majesty. God, you are awesome. Who can compare? Who can compare to your great love?
Compare to your great love. None can compare, none can compare to all. listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Isn't that an awesome song?
That's an awesome song.
LilburnMinistries.com, get the new album, which is called Your Great Name.
Your Great Name, you got it.
Something about it.
Paul's going to be proud of you.
Yeah, he's going to be. It's really, it's kind of a different project than you usually hear, but boy, it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's all about, and it's appropriately titled because all the songs are about his great name.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
So we left off by saying Moses had died on Mount Nebo. Elijah hadn't died. He got taken to heaven in a flaming chariot, which is kind of a cool way to go.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Take a ride in a flaming chariot.
Wow. That'd be even cooler than like a 747.
Much cooler. Much cooler.
Yeah. And so they're there in a glorified state, and they're talking to Jesus. So you got the law and the prophets who point to the Messiah. Both are there talking to the Messiah.
Talking to the Word, flesh.
And Jesus said to his guys in the book of Matthew, we're going to have Stephen read this because this is really cool. I think, what is it, 13:17, I think?
Let's see.
I think it's 13:17.
Yeah. Yes. He says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it."
Oof. That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you think about as the plan of salvation unfolds through the whole scripture, and you think about the people in the early part of the book, so to speak, you know, starting with Abraham and going forward, and you think about Moses and all the wanderings in the wilderness and all the things that happened when they got to the land, and then all the prophets that came, and they said, whoa, you know, Messiah's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then here he was with our friend Peter and all these guys who can't even stay awake. And Jesus is saying, all those people that came before you wanted to hear this and see this, and they didn't. You're getting to hear it and see it.
And you guys are sleeping.
You should have gone to Starbucks before we came up here. But anyway, so, you know, they got to see this in such an incredible way. And it's interesting, you know, you said that they knew that this was Moses and Elijah.
Yeah.
Without anybody telling them.
Right.
Which was kind of neat.
Yeah, Peter didn't go, Lord.
Who are you guys?
Who are those two guys?
Man, those guys are like glowing. You know, Moses always had this problem with glowing. Like, you know, he'd come down from the mountain and he'd be glowing.
Yeah.
He'd say, oh man, cover your face. We can't deal with this.
Well, yeah, they made him wear a veil.
Yeah, put a veil on. And
a little bright.
Yeah, well, so he was glowing again.
People were trying to sleep in the evening, and it's, you know, Moses would walk into the room.
Moses, put your pillow over your face or something.
Walked in the room, and everybody'd wake up, and come on. No.
You didn't need a nightlight if you were by Moses'
tent. No, you did not. All right.
Anyway, but interestingly, Moses and Elijah are talking to Jesus about what was going to happen in Jerusalem. And they use the term Exodus, which comes from a Greek word that means departure, going out of someplace.
Yes.
Which is very interesting. The other two Gospels that mention this account don't use the word Exodus, but Luke uses this because, you know, we're all going to have an Exodus where we're going to depart from this world. Mm-hmm. The Exodus, of course, the Exodus, capital E, was the people being delivered from Egypt. Mm-hmm. And by God's mighty right arm, the people were delivered from slavery, were delivered from Egypt. And, you know, the story, they, despite Pharaoh and his army, and, you know, they got out of the land. That was the Exodus. And now Jesus's Exodus was going to be what was going to happen as he departed from this world in a physical way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he obviously hasn't departed in a spiritual way, but
right.
They were talking to him about what was going to happen in Jerusalem, that this is where the sacrifice was going to be. This is where the suffering was going to be. This was where the atoning death was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the sacrifices had to be in the temple, the sacrifices that the people did had to be in Jerusalem. So the sacrifice of the Messiah had to be in Jerusalem. He couldn't have been crucified in Nazareth, or he couldn't have been crucified in Jericho.
Right.
It had to be in Jerusalem.
Right. Right. You know, when we talk about the Exodus, we think of the Exodus, the Last Supper,
mm-hmm.
but also not, well, the Last Supper, but the Passover,
mm-hmm.
because that was a, you know, that happened before they left Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So that Passover that takes place, we think back to that because, you know, the Israelites were taken from a place of slavery to a place of freedom.
Yeah.
And Jesus takes us from a place of slavery in sin to a place of righteousness with the Father.
Yeah.
You know, and so when they use that word Exodus, that he was going to accomplish, the Exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly.
There was something that was going to be, obviously they're saying accomplished. There was something very great that was going to be accomplished.
Exactly.
And this atonement for sin was going to be accomplished. The restoration of God's creation back to himself was going to be accomplished. And there was a passageway now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through the Messiah.
Wow.
It's through the Lamb.
Yeah. That's very powerfully put. That's exactly right. That's exactly what they're talking about and exactly what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, although Jesus is there in a glorified state, his humanity is also present there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, human Jesus and divine Jesus are not separate beings. They're both there in the one being.
Yes.
Conversing with Moses and Elijah. So human Jesus being fully human has to consider what this is going to mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has to consider what the sacrifice is going to be.
Yeah.
This is going to be a thing of suffering. It's going to be a thing of anguish. It's going to be a thing of brutality.
Yeah.
It's going to be shedding of blood. It's going to be death.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a kind of a sort of a death. It's real death.
Yeah.
It isn't, oh, well, you know, his divine nature blocks out all the suffering and then he just kind of, you know, passes out. I mean, this is horrible suffering and mm-hmm. it's actual physical death of his human body.
It's real. So,
yeah, it's very real. And he felt the same pain that we would feel if we were whipped mm-hmm. or we were nailed. I mean, we can't even imagine it.
And even before all this happens, he asks, you know, when he's praying in Gethsemane,
yeah.
Father, if this cup can pass mm-hmm. me by,
mm-hmm. yes,
you know,
exactly.
But he also, but he also says, not my will, but your will,
mm-hmm.
you know, so his humanness, he's anticipating mm-hmm. what he's going to go through.
Yes. Yes. Now it doesn't tell us exactly what the conversation was. It's just as they talked about his Exodus. They talk about what was going to happen in Jerusalem. We don't know what Jesus said, if he said anything to them. We don't know what they said to him, but all we're told is what the conversation was about.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said before, the law and the prophets are types and shadows that point to him. And in John 5:39, you know, Jesus says to those Pharisees, you guys look through the books because you're looking for eternal life. And that's good. You know, that's where eternal life is. But what you have to understand is these books that you're looking through testify of me. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are which testify of me. So he's saying the word that came before all these things. Now remember, they didn't have a New Testament, so they had the Torah and they had the prophets and they mm-hmm. had the wisdom literature. So Jesus says at a different point, not at the Transfiguration, all these books you search through because you're looking for eternal life, they're all about me.
Mm-hmm.
They're not about something else.
Right.
They're not about, you know, the blood of bulls and goats, because later the writer to the Hebrews is going to say the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin.
Right.
Those things were prefigurements.
Mm-hmm.
So the books are about me. And he says in Psalm 42, the scrolls tell about me. He's speaking, David, of course, writes Psalm 40, but he does it as a kind of a type of yeah. Christ. He says, the scrolls talk about me.
Mm-hmm.
And all this is about him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, what you're saying, when you're talking about that, what comes to me is how, you know, we were mentioning the Exodus and the Israelites passing through the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God parts the way for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're led through that, they're led through that passageway.
Exactly.
Into freedom.
Exactly.
Jesus makes that way for us. We're led through that passageway, the narrow gate,
mm-hmm.
into
Very
freedom.
Good. Yes.
And just the, you know, just the image of, I mean, can you imagine you have walls of water next to you?
Yeah. And dry ground beneath you.
And dry ground beneath you. And then when you pass through and all your, and all of his people pass through, that passageway is closed.
Yeah. On wow. top of the Egyptians.
On top of the Egyptians. On top of the slave drivers.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus does for us.
Amen.
He crushes the head.
Yes.
Of the slave master to sin,
yes.
who is Satan.
Exactly.
And so he gives us that victory. We share
yes.
that victory.
Yes.
Over
Very
sin
good.
And death.
That's awesome. Yeah, this whole concept of the Exodus, you know, Egypt is a symbol of sin.
Yeah.
And God delivers the people from sin.
Mm-hmm.
Through
yeah.
a deliverer, who in that case was Moses.
Right.
But Jesus' deliverer delivers us from the Egypt of sin
mm-hmm.
and the slavery that we have to sin.
Yeah.
You know, Paul, we went through quite a few chapters of the book of Romans, whenever it was. You know, Paul talks about, you know, our human nature is a slave to sin.
Yeah.
Because that's what we want to do. You know?
Yeah.
And Paul said, the good things I want to do, I don't do, but the things I don't want to do, that's what I do.
Yeah. You know, and yeah, and he calls upon the name of the Lord. What was, you know,
yeah.
you know, who can, you know, how do I get out of this situation?
Yeah, exactly.
But by the grace of God.
Who will deliver me from this wretched body?
Exactly. And, you know, the other thing that's interesting that we haven't touched upon yet is, well, we kind of did, but where we read in Matthew that, you know, Jesus said there were prophets that wanted to see this.
Yeah.
And there were people that wanted to hear this,
right.
but they didn't hear it and they didn't see it.
Yeah.
You know, if you think back to when there was the ark.
Mm-hmm.
And they were moving the ark.
Mm-hmm.
And the one, I forget his name, he touched the ark.
Yeah.
Dead.
Uzzah.
Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. Even King David was kind of worried at that point.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe we better not move the ark anymore.
Yeah. King David really took a step back and went, whoa, okay. Well, I mean, yeah, if you see somebody touch the ark just because they're trying to straighten it and boom,
yeah.
God knocks them dead, that's
yeah.
okay. We'll just leave the ark here.
But, yeah. yeah. Let's just leave the tent.
And then
right
you
here.
See then you see Isaiah in the temple.
Mm.
He sees the glory of he mm-hmm. sees the glory of God. A mm-hmm. glimpse of the glory of God. Moses is up on the mountain with
yeah.
you know on Mount Sinai with
yeah.
God and he
yeah.
comes down and his face is
yeah.
white now. And but these three see
mm-hmm.
the God's glory revealed
yeah.
in his son.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Peter say? He goes, Lord, let's build some
awesome.
Tents. Let's
yeah.
stay here.
Yeah.
There's not this.
Let's not ever leave.
Oh, woe is me. I've seen the glory.
Exactly.
So there's something new that is
exactly.
taking place here.
Exactly.
You know.
Because we talked about the glory before, about no one can see my glory and live.
Mm-hmm.
And then they saw the glory in little baby Jesus and Simeon the prophet, you know, said this is the glory of Israel.
Exactly.
Light to the Gentiles. And mm-hmm. now Peter, James, and John, and the others, too, that are walking around with Jesus are seeing the glory in a human form, and
mm-hmm.
now these guys are seeing it in a human form and a divine form.
Yeah.
So they're kind of blown away. And even Moses and Elijah are standing there, and these were two men that talked about this and knew about what was going to happen and knew about God's plan, not completely,
mm-hmm.
but in part.
Right.
And now they were talking with the fulfillment of the plan.
Yes.
I mean, that must have been amazing.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't tell us what they said, but they both, all that time that they did God's will and knew that a plan was forming, something was going to happen, now they were talking to the plan himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the human apostles who were there, who knew about Moses, knew about Elijah,
yeah.
now say, wow, Moses and Elijah are talking to Jesus.
Yeah.
This is like all the scriptures coming together for our three friends who are just kind of starting to wake up, but it's all kind of coming together here in such a powerful way that, like you said, when you read that passage, nobody else in history had ever experienced this.
Yeah. You know, nobody was called the Lamb of God when they went down to the Jordan to get baptized.
Exactly.
And those types of things. So, and we've talked about this before where we see how the disciples, you know, at every turn, they were being stretched and transformed themselves because of what they held on to in their beliefs.
Exactly.
What they held on to in their understanding of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and Jesus, you know, when Jesus says, you know, you can't put new wine into an old wineskin.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put what God is doing, what God wants to reveal or what God wants to accomplish into a mind that is closed to what that's about.
Yeah.
You know, because if I'm stuck in my understanding of the world just from a secular standpoint of what I've learned and I don't really open up to the Holy Spirit to really teach me about God, I'm not going to understand it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So these guys had like this experience of the whole plan of salvation through the scripture coming together right in front of them.
Right in front of them, yeah.
Now they're kind of starting to wake up now, but it's like happening right in front of them. And interestingly too, if you go to the first chapter, the very beginning of the book of Hebrews, it says that in the past, God talked through different prophets, different people, talked through Moses, and everybody had kind of part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So now here were two men that had sort of part of the plan talking with the plan, and they're talking to him about the plan that was going to come next, which is the center point of salvation history, which is, of course, the cross, and that this was going to accomplish the work of salvation. Because at this point, the work of salvation hasn't happened.
Right.
The work of salvation is not the humanitarian, charitable teaching that he's going to do.
Right.
Or the, you know, sort of be nice to everyone approach.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are important, and that's part of the gospel. But the plan of salvation is the cross.
That doesn't accomplish salvation in itself. Because even God told the Israelites in the Old Testament, I desire mercy, not sacrifice.
Exactly.
Your sacrifices are deplorable to me.
Yes.
You know, but even then, that does not accomplish the atonement for sin.
Exactly.
It certainly doesn't lead into more sin.
Yeah. And this was the plan. This was going to be accomplished in Jerusalem. It was going to be confirmed by the resurrection. The ascension was also going to be a glorious example of this triumph because Jesus was going to go back to the glory that he had before.
Right.
So all these things were going to happen. And Moses and Elijah are ministering to him in some sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like it says that after the temptation in the desert, you know, angels came and ministered to him.
Right.
Now Moses and Elijah are in somehow ministering to him.
To Yeshua, yeah.
Yeah. And as they're talking about how this plan of salvation is going to unfold in a very painful way that's going to involve not only the suffering, but the very loss of his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that it had to be in Jerusalem, as we said before.
Yeah.
Couldn't be someplace else. The sacrifices had to be in it. And he even, when he was walking with our two friends on the road to Emmaus, after the resurrection, he said to those guys, you know, didn't you get that the Messiah was going to have to suffer before he went to his glory?
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh man, you know, they killed them. I don't, you know.
And he tells them how foolish and slow of heart you are to believe all that the law, all the prophets
spoke
about.
All that the law and the prophets had talked about. He did that awesome Bible study.
Oh,
that I always wish he
I wish there was a
at.
CD set of that.
Yeah, man. But you know, they didn't even write a book.
Not even a digital recording of it.
No, I wish those two guys had written a book. But anyway, and you know, Peter, in his first letter mentions, you know, we saw his glory, and wow, it was really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jesus is talking at this transfiguration about what's going to happen. Ooh, second break. I love this song.
Talk about a transfiguration.
We're going to hear this song someday. We'll do a show just about this song.
Okay.
Or maybe like six parts to it. There We'll be right back on Gift of Grace.
There is a sound. There is a cry from the depths of our hearts. Heaven, come down. We'll not be silenced. Can't be contained. The cry of a people, a priesthood, a nation called by your name. Out of the darkness, redeemed from the night, bathed in his glory, reflecting his light.
Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Yes, it is.
This whole concept of the church being the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, if you study the book, The Song of Songs, if you could keep from just crying and falling apart, you'll learn so much from this. And maybe we should do like a whole series of shows on that.
We should.
Anyway. So we have to finish this up because now, you know, this last segment goes really fast.
Yes, it does.
Amazing. So, you know, they're talking about the suffering. There's these three are there, glorious. There's three human beings there that now they're kind of waking up and they're kind of catching the end of this. You know, they didn't catch the whole beginning of it. They're kind of catching the end of it now. Mm-hmm. Just like in the garden.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of catch the end of the suffering. Where Jesus says, okay, well, you might as well stay awake now because my betrayer's here. And, you know, they were sleeping up until this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the weakness and the frailty of humans.
Yeah.
And this is why we can't, this is why we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We need this outpouring of grace and power or else we can't do anything.
Exactly. We fall back into.
Yeah. And like you were saying, just share what you were saying during the break.
Well, that, you know, Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets, mm-hmm. all that they spoke about. He was the atonement for our sin, but that wasn't the end of God's plan because the Holy Spirit still had to come
mm-hmm.
to empower the disciples to build the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it seems like we forget about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, we want to go back to, we want to go, not that what Jesus accomplished isn't important. It's vitally important to our mm-hmm. salvation. Or we want to go back to study the law and the prophets, mm-hmm. which is good to understand and know. But we can't negate right. that the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was part of God's plan because, you know, it's like in the tenant, in the parable of the tenant farmer, or not the tenant farmer, but the workers in the vineyard.
Yeah.
Where, you know, okay, they go out and they hire some people at the beginning of the day. And then they go out and hire some people in the middle of the day. And then they go out and hire some people in the, toward the end of the day. At the very end of the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then the wages are paid.
Yeah.
And then people start grumbling. Hey, wait a minute. That guy that came in at 5 o'clock, he only worked a minute. And he's got the same pay as me.
Yeah.
And I've been here all day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the parable is, am I not able to do what I want with my own mm-hmm. money? Because I'm being generous.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the kingdom.
Yeah,
you know, Jesus spoke of these parables to explain the kingdom to Israel.
Yeah.
And to the people and to us.
Yeah.
Not just Israel, but to us as well, because we still, we're reading the Gospels as well. And the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us by the grace and mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of anything that we did amongst ourselves.
Sure.
But because that was part of God's plan.
Yeah.
And it's not, we're not taking anything away from God because he chose to give us something.
Mm-hmm.
We work to build the kingdom. And I say that because sometimes there's conversations that I've gotten into where it seems like, well, this is for us. This mm-hmm. was for me. This was for them.
Mm-hmm.
How did they get it?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, well, wait a minute. That was God's choice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
It was God's choice.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about a little bit about that last week or the week before. We said, you know, the Pharisees used to get mad when all these common people were listening to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, why are they listening to him? Why is he even talking to them? We're the ones in charge here.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's, you know, and of course the older brother and the prodigal son. But,
mm-hmm.
but with this, you know, when you bring up this good point about how we have to be, because of our frailty, because of our weakness, we have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Those guys, those apostles, without Pentecost morning, they wouldn't have gotten very far.
They were doomed.
They wouldn't have gotten very far, and they wouldn't have even had a radio show, let alone moved anywhere else.
No.
They would have just been still in the upper room hiding.
I mean, unless God builds the house, you're laboring in vain.
Exactly.
You
and
know.
We know we have to pray for that.
Yes.
For that outpouring, because that's what enlivens us. That's what mm-hmm. gives us the power that we need. Otherwise, we can't do anything.
Because in our weakness, it's God's glory that comes through.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, it's always, he's always going to get the glory.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we're not open to what's going on, if we're not docile to the Spirit, you know, if we're just living in the world and, you know, sort of going to church on mm-hmm. Sunday morning because it's Sunday morning and, you know, I'm going to go to the 10 o'clock service at this place and because that works out the best for my schedule and, mm-hmm. then, you know, I went, so that's great. And, you know, that's not being docile and open to the Spirit. That's just, you know, warming up the pew or the chair.
Keeping
the bench warm. But, you know, you can, if you're not tuned in to what the Spirit's doing, you can miss the signs and the wonders that are going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can miss opportunities for ministry, for proclaiming the gospel, for telling people about salvation. You got to be docile to what's going on around you through the Spirit because these guys were sleeping.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, God says, this is my son. Mm-hmm. Listen to him.
Yeah.
You know, and Jesus is, he's fulfilling the word.
Yeah,
He says, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it.
Yes, exactly.
But then he also tells his disciples, wait here for the promise of the Father.
Yeah.
It's twofold.
Yeah, that's right.
It's twofold.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, wait here for the promise of the Father.
Yeah.
And I know we haven't gotten to Pentecost yet, but
no.
I think it's an important aspect of this to understand that, you know, people think the Holy Spirit's done away with.
Yeah.
And
he didn't stop working at the end of the first century.
No, he hasn't been on vacation for 1900 years, no.
And we don't know what these guys, you know, when they woke up and saw this was going on, you mentioned Peter says, oh, this is great being here. You know, we always talk about the mountaintop experience. I always talk about that. Oh, I had a mountaintop experience. But now, unfortunately, I'm back down in the valley. But, you know, when they see this, they want to stay there.
Yeah.
They don't want to go back to the valley.
Because they're in the presence of the Lord.
This is awesome. You know, this is the presence. You know, let's just build some tents and stay here.
Yeah.
But, you know, the people in the valley need to know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to minister to the people that live down in the valley.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter, you know, didn't quite understand that because he was excited now. He wanted to be there.
Oh,
we don't even know if they heard the conversation about the suffering and the exodus that was going to be in Jerusalem.
Right.
And then the cloud that overshadows them, of course, is, you know, kind of like the Shekinah that you see in when the people were in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And they were afraid to enter the cloud, just like the people were afraid when Mount Sinai was shrouded. And they said, we can't take this. Have God talk to Moses, not to us, and have Moses tell us what he wants. we're too scared.
There's all this lightning and thunder going on. It's kind of
and a cloud. And then when the temple was dedicated by Solomon, and you can read about this in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, it's really cool. The presence of God is so thick, the cloud is so thick that the priests can't minister. They all have to leave.
Yeah.
They have to all go out of the temple because they can't do anything.
Yeah.
The music team can't play. The priests can't pray because there's this like cloud everywhere. And they were afraid. And then they hear the Father's voice, which is really awesome. And the Father says, "This is my son." You know, you hear him. Yeah. I mean, this is not only an endorsement by the Father, but he says to listen to Jesus. He doesn't say listen to Moses. He doesn't say listen to Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from Hebrews chapter 1, as I said, now his son, he speaks to us through his son, not through prophets, not through law. So he says, listen to him, not to the others. Now, this is the end point of salvation.
Yeah.
Ooh, this end came too fast.
Oh.
Anyway, I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we'll be back here next week on The Gift of Grace. Study the word, and may your may the Lord bless you abundantly this week. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.